I literally, it had not occurred to me the irony of the question I'm about to ask you, that I'm asking you before I preach a sermon. But the question I was going to ask you was, have you ever really wanted something to be over with? Besides the sermon. But seriously, have you ever been in the midst of something that you really wish would go? And that there are things that come along, and I don't even have to give you more descriptors than that because it's different for everybody, but something comes and it feels like it's been here forever, and you can't see the way to when it is going to go away, when it's going to leave. And that can really be a terrible place to be. That can be a really stuck place to be. And it can lead to really difficult feelings. The flight. So we got on the flight in Johannesburg to return to the United States on Thursday evening. On the way back, you make up like 6 hours in the air. But the actual time of the flight, I started the stopwatch on my phone. And when the wheels left the ground, and I stopped it when the wheels touched the ground. 16 hours and 4 minutes. 16 hours and 4 minutes, which was actually about 30 or 40 minutes short. The pilot did some tricky stuff, apparently, and beat the time that he said it would take. So that was good. But along the way, outside of pretty much feeding you intermittently on a very steady pace so that you might be able to sleep for a while, but there's always going to be food coming. There's never a doubt that the next snack or food is coming, which is great. But also, they got these little screens in the seat in front of you. And on the little screens, you have this wonderful assortment of movies. And the purpose of having the movies or the television there on the little screen is to keep you from losing your mind during the 16 hours. So it works pretty well. It really is a nice selection of movies. Some of them still even in the theaters. And so it's kind of like Christmas, opening that up and seeing what all the movies are that are possible for you. Unless you're the woman in front of me in this way one seat. I could see her screen and backstory on her. It turns out that this was her first ever flight. So the first time she got on a plane, she's on there for 16 hours and 4 minutes flying time. But when everybody else is playing with their screen, seeing about how where the plane is and picking movies and things, hers has a simple message up there on the screen. It says, please wait. So the screen is not working. Whatever's supposed to be happening is not happening for her. So the stewardess came and said, this happens sometimes. This happens on occasion. What we need to do is it'll take about 8 minutes, and we will reboot that, and then it should work. And if it doesn't, we'll try it, but try something else. But that should work. So she went away, and around 8 minutes later, she came back, and our screen said, "Please wait." Hadn't changed a bit, and she said, "We'll try it again." So she tried it again at least two more times, and each time the screen said, "Please wait." This wonderful woman was very patient. She wasn't throwing a fit. She just wanted her screen to work. But the stewardess said, we have a seat, and she gave her a seat number that's available if you'd like to move, and there's another one. And the lady was really happy to be in the seat that she was in. She was not looking to move. So she just decided to stay where she was. And when the plane landed, 16 hours and 4 minutes later, her screen said, please wait. In life, there are times that come along that we immediately hope will be over with. That we, as soon as they're there, we know we don't want them and we would like for them to leave. And you could list some different categories. Times of anxiety, where you get so anxious that it's not just something that you're feeling emotionally, but you can almost feel it within yourself physically. Times of loss, that grief, and sometimes you experience that loss and there's that immediate sense of loss, but there's also the sense of loss that you feel that goes on and on and on because you never stop missing the person that you've lost. There are times of asking God in prayer for a particular thing to happen, for an outcome, where you have in mind, God, if this could be your will, this would be the thing that I would hope for. This is the thing that I would lift up. This is what I would pray for. And you wait for those things. And there are times when just hope is simply hard. When you're in the midst of any of those things or any combination of those things, hope can become a really challenging thing to find. And a name for the absence of hope is despair. Those are places of despair, times of despair. And despair has this really unpleasant quality of coming in, finding a comfortable spot, and making a nest. Just taking up residence in your life. And in those times, we may ask and ask and ask for something to happen, for something to change. And it feels like this is what happens. There is a sign that pops up in front of us and it says, please wait. No explanation. No timetable for when that period of waiting will end. No sense of how to get away from it and go to a different place. Just please wait. So a few weeks ago, we had the beginning of the season of Lent. We're in the fifth Sunday of Lent. So on the first couple Sundays of Lent, first Sunday of Lent, we talked about Jesus in the wilderness. Jesus being led into the wilderness and Jesus fasting for 40 days and then Jesus being tempted by the devil. And in a lot of ways, that's Lent. That's the description of Lent in a nutshell. 40 days of reflection on us as broken people, on our brokenness. 40 days of considering where we need to repent. And repent's a church word for make changes. 40 days where we have to figure out what it is that we need to do differently, where we need to turn from where we're headed and go in a different direction because it's where God is asking us to go. 40 days of remembering how much we need Good Friday and how much we need Easter. That they're not just holidays that roll around each year and we pay attention to, but they happened because we needed them to happen. We needed Jesus with that cross, and we needed Jesus with that empty tomb. When Jesus is out there in the wilderness for those 40 days, being led there by the Spirit, and before he's tempted, how many times do you think in Jesus' mind he might have said to God, as speaking to his Father, he might have said, can I go now? Like maybe around day 23, maybe he prayed, is this enough? Is it time to go back? And around day 30, more of the same questions. And how many times Jesus, in that asking, do you think maybe the answer that came back to him was, please wait. Please just stay where you are for the time being. Please hold on. And the thing with Jesus was, he did not rush through the experience. He didn't try to do 40 days in four. He stayed out there in that wilderness for 40 days and he fasted and then he had his temptation by the devil. And then when it was clear that it was all complete, the time that he was to be there, then he moved on. But he did not rush through that experience, and Lent is built in such a way that we can't rush through it. We cannot have Easter on Tuesday because we feel like we've done enough of this Lent thing and it's time to move on. Easter is going to come when Easter will come, which is April 21st. Won't come before then. So we can't rush. There's nothing you can do to make the time pass faster. It will take the same amount of time no matter how you approach it. So Jesus didn't rush it. We can't rush it. So the first 2 weeks of Lent, we're talking about giving things up. And we talked about giving up what is not of God when we talked about the temptations. And we talked about giving up limiting God, trying to put limitations on God being able to do only things we can explain or understand and move beyond that. Get God out of that box and understand that God can do bigger things than we can imagine. This morning, giving up despair. We're going to work on the idea of letting despair be something that you can give up, like set aside. In the scripture passage from Isaiah this morning, five of the most powerful words that you will find in Scripture. Look, I am doing a new thing. That's God speaking. Look, I am doing a new thing. Those words should have brought about powerful emotions in the people who were in exile at that time. And Isaiah was speaking that truth to them. Look, I am doing a new thing. And in the same way, those words should speak powerful hope into our hearts and our lives as well. God's still saying that. Look, I am doing a new thing. Isaiah 43:18. So in the middle of that passage, there is what I would have to describe as a really surprising verse. There's a verse there that, given everything that comes before, especially in the Torah, it's really, you have to stop and think about what's going on. So all through the Torah, all through the first five books of the Old Testament, the Pentateuch, there is constantly instruction to remember that you were slaves in Egypt, to remember the past and all the things that have happened before. Remember how God delivered you. Remember when you were thirsty and God brought water out of the rock. Remember when you were hungry and God made it rain food, when it rained manna. Remember that. Remember how you didn't have a place. You left Egypt behind and you didn't have a place, but God delivered you to a promised land. Remember this. There's constantly that instruction to the people. Not only should they remember, but they should teach their children who weren't there, but they should remember it as well. So always the refrain, remember, remember, remember. So that's why I would say that in Isaiah, in this particular chapter, in this particular verse, verse 18, it's a little unusual when God says, don't remember the prior things. Don't ponder ancient history. Wait, what? Don't remember? Don't think about things from the past? And then it follows with those five words. Look, I'm doing a new thing. I don't believe that whole passage. The point is that God wants us not to remember. So I would say that God's not really suggesting we forget all the ways that God has cared for and blessed and taken care of the people in the past, and all the ways that God has cared for and blessed and taken care of us in the past. What really God is suggesting is that we don't become so focused on remembering and giving thanks for the past that we forget that the God who did all that stuff is still doing stuff. And so there's a future out there as well. And God is saying to give thanks for that, but don't get caught in that. Look forward with as much hope as you look backward with gratitude. Look forward with hope because there is so much coming from that future direction. God's actions are not simply stories of what happened in the past. God's actions are those things that are forming now and preparing to unfold in the future. Now, Christians might hear this Old Testament passage and say, yes, 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 that's right. Because these are folks who lived in the Old Testament and they still had Jesus out there in front of them. So you got the crucifixion and the resurrection. You got the cross and the empty tomb still to come. So in a way, we might resonate with this. There was a future filled with hope for those people in this Old Testament passage who are in exile. And there is a future with hope for those of us who may feel despair in some way this day. If you're in that place, a place of despair, first, hopefully a screen will pop up for you that says, please wait. But then hear those words, look, I am doing a new thing. One thing pastors get to see, which we are privileged to be invited to see, is people let us in at moments where life is really difficult. And we get to be there with people in those places, and they share that. And that's when life is really real for people, when it's really hard for people, when they are struggling and life seems so challenging and it's so raw and vulnerable. And people live with with pain. And people live with all kinds of difficulties and challenges and heartaches. A lot of that stuff is of the variety of the kind of thing that takes time. You just don't move people out of it. Okay, your week is up. It doesn't work like that. It takes time, and it leaves of its own volition. It's in no rush to go anywhere. That's a real thing. If you've ever been in that place, and if you haven't, you will be, but it is just a hard place to be, and you can't minimize what happens to people in that place. Despair can feel inescapable. It can be like a prison. And all of what's to follow is not to minimize that truth. It is not to minimize how hard despair can be. But what I would say to you is God longs to help us with despair. God wants to walk with us when we're in that place of despair. And God wants us to hear those words. Look, I'm doing a new thing. There's going to be lots of Africa stories, I feel confident. But one of the things we did was we went to a place called Africa University. Africa University is in Zimbabwe. We stayed there for about a week. Got to know folks and had a wonderful experience. It's a great university that brings people from all over the African continent and is educating, but also instilling just a wonderful sense of we're not 54 African nations, we are one country, and bringing that kind of a vision so that we heard time and again from students, I am from Zimbabwe, or I am from the Congo, or I am from Angola, but really I'm from Africa, and seeing that larger sense. But we were sitting with the vice chancellor, who is basically the president of the school, and he's talking with us about this young woman, one particular young woman, who was from Rwanda and had family that were victims of the genocide that was going on in Rwanda, and she managed to get out, and she was at a refugee camp in Zimbabwe. And already you can sense from a story like that, that if there's someone with whom despair might be strong, this would certainly be a person who could fit that category. To have lost basically everything, to have to leave your home and go, and now you're in a refugee settlement. And you don't have to know a bunch about refugee settlements to know that a refugee settlement is kind of an incubator for despair. It's the kind of place where despair goes so it can flourish and grow and attach itself to more and more people. So this young woman from Rwanda who's living in this refugee camp, somehow found her way from the refugee camp in Zimbabwe to Africa University in Zimbabwe. She heard about Africa University. So she went and somehow got an appointment with the vice chancellor, the man who was talking with us. And she told him her story. She said, what I have is myself, and I'm at this refugee camp, and you need to make me a student at Africa University. And he explained the technicalities of how you become a student, and that there's fees involved, and you just can't become a student like that. And he said she listened to all that, and she said, you need to make me a student. And after having that conversation a couple times, it became clear she wasn't going anywhere. So he called a man named Jim, who was actually from South Carolina, but works with Africa University in a number of capacities. And he called Jim and he said, Jim, I've got a young woman in my office and she won't leave. I need a scholarship. So Jim happened to be in touch with a church in Tennessee that already sponsored a few students and explained the situation to them. And long story short, they said they would sponsor her. And so they picked her up as a student of who they sponsored with a scholarship. She's went through the program there. She's graduated Africa University now, and she's helped to design a program that works with refugee work for Africa University at this point. a person with every reason in the world for despair. And yet, in that moment, what she did was choose not to be despairing. She could have been a victim of the please wait moment, but she pressed forward. She pressed forward, and she wouldn't take no for an answer. And God said, look, I'm doing a new thing, and did it through her. If today, April 7th, 2019, if you happen to be experiencing what you might think of as the seeds of despair on this particular day, or if you're going through a full-blown case of, it's not the seeds of despair, it's the forest of despair, if that happens to be where you are, I pray first that you would experience the comfort and the care and the compassion that you need to experience as you are in that place, and that the burden of what you're experiencing will not be too great. But I also ask that God's promises be made real in your life, as real as that thunder you're hearing. And help you to give up the despair that can eat away at us. Lent is 40 days from Ash Wednesday to Easter. But if you count from Ash Wednesday to Easter, do you know what you will not get as a number of days? 40. You will not get 40. You will not get 40 because Sunday doesn't count. Because Sunday is a day of resurrection. Sunday is each one a little Easter. And so on this day, even when we're in the wilderness, even when we're supposed to be contemplating on our brokenness and our need, we're reminded that God has done something about this, and that the cross is an event that has happened, and that the empty tomb is an event that has happened. So each one of these days of resurrection, each one of these days of Lent, as you go through it, however you are feeling, keep before you, please wait. And also, look, I am doing a new thing. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray.